everybody. Welcome back to the Dr. K Show. Today I have Dr. Nicole Woodard with us, and we are going to talk about a lot of different things, but mostly relating to your joints, maybe some aches and pains you might have and ways you might be able to work through some of that kind of stuff. And also we're going to talk a little bit about how to connect the brain with the rest of your body. So Dr. Nicole, welcome. Excited
Hello.
To have you.
Hi, everybody. I am super excited to be here. I'm always in awe of you, Kirsten, and everything that you do for your audience and provide. And I feel so honored to be here.
This is going to be great. We've had Dr. Nicole, she had me on her podcast with Mobility Athletes. And so Nicole, and I just loved it. I loved being on. And so I wanted to have you on my side as well. So Dr. Nicole, will you please tell everybody who you are, what you do, about your business?
Yes.
Give us a little intro.
Awesome. Well, I am the owner of Mobility Physical Therapy and then the brand Mobility Athletes. So I have been working for over 11 years as a high-level physical therapist in sports and orthopedics. And I got my doctorate actually in 2010, and I'm an orthopedic certified specialist. So that's kind of the background, tons and tons of certifications, especially in the manual realm. And then leading into now more focused in mindset, breath work, and really connecting your brain and body. Our clinic that we actually do is 70% online. So almost everything we do is online, and we focus on athletes specifically and really helping athletes finally establish a plan they need to stop feeling tight and optimize their own performance.
My gosh, that's amazing. What is it? Have you always been, just out of curiosity, have you always been online, or did you sort of shift with the pandemic because of that? Or what did that look like?
So I was actually online before the pandemic.
Yeah. Yes. So good.
Yes. So I started, the online portion of my business has actually been in existence for about 4 years. And I actually worked inside of a gym and then ended up moving beyond that relationship. The online stuff started to pick up for me, more athlete consults, being able to travel with our professional athletes. And so then what I did was started looking at that and what I could create and how we could further this impact, because what we know is that injury rates continue to rise. And, health and wellness incentives continue to show up, but we're not getting any changes. So health and wellness continues to go down. Even in the studies of athletes, actual health parameters in athletes are not good. And so I thought, how can I really share my expertise on the broadest platform possible? And online just kept coming up more and more. And so I dove into that to feel really comfortable. So I started, my online business has been going now for about 2.5 years.
Oh, that's so awesome. Okay, I have a follow-up question on that. So why do you think that we're seeing more injuries and that also the kind of health and wellness practices are going down as well? Like, why do you think, or why does that show up the most in your practice, at least? Like, why do you see that?
Yeah, I think that it really has to do with we're constantly being shown a world, or almost like hypnotized into this world, right? So everything you consume every single day affects you, whether you want it to or not. And it sets a standard for you. So what we see on TV, what we see in the workplace, the conversations that we're having, they all skew. And what they tell us is that number one, symptoms that you feel equal a diagnosis, and a diagnosis has to equal a treatment, and a treatment is surgery or medication. That is how we fix the problem. And so I think that that's kind of the first thing, is that automatically, if you guys go and listen to commercials at all, they will say, a very specific way of phrasing things so that you answer yes. And majority of people are going to answer yes. So like, even for me, I consider myself fairly healthy, and I start listening to these commercials and I'm like, they're like, do you feel tired? And I'm like, I do, like, you know, and then you, in your mind hears that. And so it wants a resolution. So I think that that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that we have been taught to trust everyone else except for our own bodies and their healing capabilities. Mm-hmm. And so again, kind of back to that, we're looking for everything else to do. So our nutrition has gone down. Everything that's really within our control and our power has went down. So what we eat continues to get worse. The types of exercise that we engage in typically tend to be either end of the spectrum. So absolutely nothing, or drop you on the ground, must train a certain amount of hours, must be in a significant intensity. And the whole time we're just not even checking in to see, is that feeling good? Is that getting me to my goals? Is there a better way to get there? And then just environmentally, I think we have to be aware of that too. Like the world we live in is very different than the world was 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So from the stuff that's in our food, but also the air we breathe, the stuff that comes through in our water, just all these different pieces, even just how we travel, how we sit in desks, things that have become very normal life for us are very different. So I think we just see a big expansion along that line too.
Absolutely. On a side note, I made finally like my first round of like real bone broth yesterday. Like I've always taken carcasses and chicken carcasses and made chicken broth, like a broth out of it, but I've never put like the carrots and the onions and the celery and all the things to make it super tasty so that it doesn't just go into like a soup, like you can actually drink it. But like one of the things that they talked about in that book is that we used to go to things like making bone broths and things like this at home, but we've literally lost that over the last couple of generations because we just don't take the time to do those things anymore. Like super simple practices that we just no longer do, because why would you if you can buy it in a box or a can at the store, right?
Right.
But I say this because the point being that we've lost in many ways some of the like traditional practices and things that have a significant impact on like the health and the wellness of our body, on your joints, on your GI tract, yep, on your immune system, all your skin. I mean, like all these different things. There are some very, very, very simple practices that we used to do all the time, but have just simply gotten lost in the generations. And I think that that can translate into your joints, but you as an athlete and you just as a healthy mm-hmm. person in general. And I think that's a layer that I was just literally doing this last weekend, you know, just learning these, trying to learn again, these like simple things that we used to do that we just don't take the time for anymore. And they have a significant impact on our health.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of what you just tied into too, is this understanding. So many people want to segment up the body. They want to segment up their health. They want to segment up their goals. So they want to say, okay, I want to get skinny and I want 6-pack abs, because yeah, that's like what an athlete looks like to them. Yeah. And that's great. Okay. Like that's fine. That's what an athlete looks to you. That's what you want to embody. But then they forget these things that like the gut microbiome affects how your joints feel, which affects the inflammation in your body, which affects your ability to lose body fat, which affects your ability to train hard, and affects how deep in sleep you can go. And it's like this never ending cycle. And for me, at least when I started diving into this world, and even now guys, like I'm great on the movement part understanding, but surface level on those other things, that's why I work with people like you. Don't get lost in there. Like there's so yeah. many things mm-hmm. that you need and should be doing. But the biggest thing is just look at yourself as a whole picture and just start asking yourself, like, what feels good? Because I promise you the answer is probably things like, I mean, how like even just like good did you feel making that bone broth? Like you probably just felt yeah. like very connected and it was like, oh, this is very soothing. It's a soothing process. Your body likes it as well as it's nutritious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the process of making it was actually, it's really easy. If you're going to be like around the house for the day, it's so easy to make, but it was actually the process of sipping it, trying it out, adding. So I don't add salt until the end. This is not going to be the entire podcast, I promise. We are going to get into the things that everybody else is here for. But I always add in salt at the end. And then just because you don't want it to get overly salty, especially if it's going to stay like in the fridge for, you know, a week or so, or freeze. Anyway, the process of like drinking it and trying it, I mean, my husband, he drank the whole thing. He drank my mug, half of my mug and his mug all last night, just because he was like, this is so good. And then afterwards, like both of us were like, I want more of that. And it's interesting because when the body gets things that it wants, it's actually incredible how much you'll be like, I want more of that. And I want even more of that. And I want even more of that. So anyway, I've also seen that with people starting to bring in more fermented foods like kombucha, fermented vegetables, mm-hmm. sauerkrauts, things like that. They don't typically like them or, you know, want them at first. But then when they start eating more of those foods, it's interesting. They start to have more of a palate for it. And then they want more and more and more of it because they're just building up that bacteria in their gut. And it's awesome. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's what happens with movement though too, right?
Yes.
Like that is what happens with movement. Like everybody thinks, just like they think they should consume bone broth, just like they think they should do these things. You think you should stretch. You think you should mobilize. But you don't because you don't yet know how good it will feel and how much more you will crave it. Because if you did, and you saw that improvement, then you would stick with it. Like this is the way that it would go. And so I think that it just kind of, again, we have this idea that we have to hate things or be in deprivation, and that includes movement. You don't have to train and run yourself into the ground. Like you can treat your body with respect and still become a very, very high level athlete. Like, I promise.
Oh man, I would say it's a huge, almost like fallacy to think that if you want to become a high performing athlete, you just have to be like dead feeling by the end of the day, like work your body so hard. That's not always it. Right. So, okay. I want to ask a little bit more. So when a patient or an athlete comes to you and they have like an ache or a pain, or they have something that's just not right, where do you start and how do you kind of look at it by like connecting, like where the brain, how the brain connects to that part of the body? Can you walk us through a little bit of that process? Yeah.
For sure. So step one is always our mobility framework. So screen, stretch, stabilize, strengthen, and then do your sport. And so that's like really where everything's focused. So all the S's. But screening is the most important thing. So the first thing that you have to know is that our brain doesn't mean to lie to us, but it does. Yeah. And so what that means is that your shoulder can be killing you. And we go through and we look at it and you have full range of motion. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to go there and crank on it and stretch on it. I'm going to let that part kind of chill out. I might go and be screening out your mid back, that thoracic spine. And I might see that that's very tight and restricted. I might look at your neck and see that that's very tight and restricted. So your program for your hurt shoulder might look like neck and mid back exercises, because that's why your shoulder is bothering you. And then we're just going to protect this until your brain kind of gets back the right sensation. So I think that that's the biggest thing, is that always take whatever your body is feeling and make sure that you have something objective that tells you, is that what's really happening or not? Or is there something else in addition to? So I think that that's the biggest thing going through. And the other part of connecting the brain and the body that we always look at is every single sensation that you feel, every goal that you have is regulated by the brain. So if you want to get stronger, happens in the brain. If you want to get faster, it happens in the brain. If you want to get more flexible, it happens in the brain. Also, the opposite of that is also happening in the brain. So if you are feeling slow and sluggish, that's in the brain. If you are feeling tight, it's controlled in the brain. So we have to figure out how to open up that brain barrier. So once you guys realize that you're not just a muscle stuck to two bones, like that you are actually a brain driven species, then we have to figure out how to unlock it. And that's always breath work for us, and then developmental sequence. So screen it, stretch it, stabilize, strengthen, sport, under the context of always breath work and developmental sequence.
Oh my gosh. There's like so much to unpack in that.
Yes.
Let's start with like just simple breath work. I'll give a little precursor to this. I often have patients come into my office and they're just like, I do my breath work and it's not helpful. And I'm like, okay, let's take a step back. We'll understand why you're doing it. But breath work, what do you find to be the most helpful and why do you start there?
So, first of all, I'd like to preface that every single thing that I have learned, I've either learned through XPT or through Jesse Coomer. So, if you guys have any, hilarious, I just keep his book. Like, I'm not trying to, I swear I am not affiliated with him in any way, shape or form, but he's awesome. So, if you guys want to pick up his book, it kind of talks about the why, and then it goes into exactly what to do. So first of all, you have to understand a couple of the whys in order to then understand like what to do and where that comes in. So the first why would be mindset control, right? So the first why is that you need to relax or you feel overly tired, something more like that mindset, that mental side of control, emotional side of control is happening that you feel like you need to tap into and be more aware of or transcend above. So that happens with your autonomic nervous system. So you have your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system. One of them works to rest and digest, super happy. And the other one is fight or flight. Neither one of them is bad and neither one of them is good. You need both of them at all times. But when we live in fight or flight all the time, which is what 90% of us do, we live in this fight or flight. What happens is that our hormones are really jacked up. And when our hormones are really high, so our inflammatory chemicals, serotonin is down, all these things happen and it can cause depression in different pieces. So that's like number one reason to do breath work. Some of those types of breath works are going to look more like hyperventilation style breath works like Wim Hof, also paired with like cold experiences that you can get some major changes. And it's just a body's response to overcoming essentially the brain biology you've been given and tapping into that. The other one is performance. So the other why is performance. You want to get better at performance. Performance is based on how much carbon dioxide can you tolerate in your body before you have to take a breath. We do not take a breath because we need oxygen. We take it because we get too much carbon dioxide and we need to get rid of it. And so what's crazy though, is this is the higher the carbon dioxide in your body is, the more easily your red blood cells give oxygen off. So they'll actually release it to your muscle tissues, which means more oxygen in your muscle tissues. They can work harder. Everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. So you want to get that level up a little bit. Now, those types of breath works can be all sorts of different things with holds. You can look at your box breathings. You can look at all these different pieces. But the first step that you need to do is like, if you say something's not working, number one, what was your goal with it working? And then what were you testing? Like, did you actually do like a breath work test to see your CO2 tolerance? What were you actually testing? Again, that screen model, screen it first so you can actually know if your goal falls in line and is going to get you better.
Yes, exactly. Well, and a lot of times, so just as you mentioned, stress management and then performance, right? Those are like your biggest reasons of why people typically do breath work. And it's like that step into maybe looking a little bit more into meditation or things like that without actually having somebody go through that massive piece of meditating and kind of bringing all that on. It's like a step work into
yes.
it. But actually the other thing I wanted to talk about too, as far as breath work goes, is like how, I just took a course on breath work and gait and how we can have a, basically, if we don't breathe properly and we don't have full control over our breathing patterns, it can affect how we walk, which can then, of course, have an impact, right, on how we move and run and do all these other movement patterns in our life. And it just simply comes down to, can you actually breathe into your abdomen first versus your chest? And tying it back to the thoracic mobility stuff that you were talking about earlier, if you have a point in your upper back or that thoracic spine that's locked, you may not be actually breathing through your whole spine. You just might be breathing on either side of that tight spot. And that can have some serious implications on how your body moves. It's crazy. Yeah. Breath is like huge. It's the foundation of all the things.
Oh yeah. And I think you guys as athletes are going to see it more and more and more. Like,
oh, for sure.
This is not going away. Because all these people talk about, oh, the 1% gains. If you can tap into breath work and you truly understand what you're doing, like, we are not talking about 1% gains here. Like, we're talking about difference makers, like big time things. And you just don't, it's crazy what's going on right now in the breath work world. And that's what I love about Jesse Coomer is that breath work used to be weird. Like,
oh, for sure.
Real weird. And I get down with the weird, like, it doesn't bother me. I get down with it, but like, if you're just beginning and all these people are like making all these weird noises, they're doing all these seances, these weird rituals, like that's what breath work was always tied to before. People didn't understand that it does fall in line. You know, we kind of like talked about a little bit about the medical community. Obviously, we're both in the medical community and it's very important to us. We believe in evidence-based practice. We believe in all these things. And it's taken a while for breath work to make the cross over from traditional, very Eastern style medicine and practices into this idea of it does also fit our Western model here. And I think that's what we have to start understanding is that it's not one or the other. It's really this experimentation with you and with your body and trying to expand. And yes, breath work is the foundation of it all. If you cannot breathe and do things, you'll never be as successful as you can be. And that's, that's everything. I mean, hands down.
Yep. And just it being just this really simple way of dealing with stress management, it's one of the biggest pieces that your higher performing people and athletes have to prioritize is some type of stress management. Because I know in the worlds that both you and I live in, there are many people similar, just like us, very much so working, doing other sports, a lot of these higher intensity things that if you don't, and if you live in that space all the time and you don't take any time to come out of that time and in that stress kind of higher intensity, higher stress arenas, right? It over time that adds up and it can take a toll on your body. And that can sometimes be, can show up as illness and injury.
Yes. So I'm actually have been learning a lot about this. I'm also doing like some just understanding trauma and stress and how it like connects to the body. But there's actually this universal law. So just like the law of gravity, there's another universal law called the law of relativity. And it says that everything in this universe runs in seasons, and that includes us.
Totally.
And when you ignore a season completely, that season will persist in time and intensity. So what that means is if you do not take a break, which is winter, winter is like hibernation, taking a break. If you never do that, your body, this universe, everything about it will create that for you because it needs you to do that. Like, so it will show up like injuries. It will show up like colds. It will show up like all these things. And then guess what? Once your body, once your brain learns that, oh my gosh, Nicole, that girl takes a break every year when we get a cold and we're down for 2 weeks and like we actually get some rest, you will recreate that every single year because you need that. Like you have to start creating those things for yourself and be very aware of those like pieces and parts in each week. A rest day doesn't just mean not training and then working your butt off at work. And being in a high stress environment, your body doesn't know stress. Like, it doesn't know that you're upset at Susie at the office, or you just did a 5K PR run. Like, it has no idea. It's the same to your body. So you have to really start thinking about that. And that's exactly what you just said. Stress management looks very different for a lot of different people.
Yep, it does, for sure. And that's always why it's important to figure out what is best for you, what you specifically need. And it's going to be different per person. That we have so many tools nowadays to like biohack, right? To like know what we need specifically for ourselves. And that's, it's good to know those things. So I want to take a little bit of a transition into, you and I are both in the CrossFit world. We're also in the triathlete world. We're kind of all over the place with a lot of different types of people. Yes. One of the things that I always, look at and watch is when the CrossFit Open comes up, there are groups of people. There are groups of people who pretty much warm up for the open workouts with, or regionals workouts, but with the current movements that are going to be in it. And then there are others who warm up a little bit with more like priming the joints and getting them ready, but not using those specific movements. You want to walk us through a little bit about how you would suggest doing an open workout to prime the joints?
Yes. So number one, I would say 95% of people that are there are doing exactly what you just said, with just a couple of caveats. None of these things that I'm going to say are wrong. They're wrong in isolation. The first thing is, let's just like, I don't know, I'm like trying to think of like a workout, which we just did. I've got that one like posted, but let's like think of another open workout. I don't know. Let's throw some movements out.
There's been a couple with like rowing and wall balls. There's been a couple.
Perfect. Yeah. I remember that one. I got 21 no reps on that one. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
It was bad. Very off depth perception day. Thank God for LASIK. This year is going to be better.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
So let's say that it's rowing and wall balls, mm-hmm. and we're looking at that. So you've got one set of athletes that's going to go in and they're going to do maybe four rounds, 30-second sprint on the rower, 30-second slow on the rower, just to get their pull prime, to get their heart rate up. And then they're going to do maybe a round of 5 to 10 wall balls, and maybe they're going to front squat with that wall ball a few times. And that's really what their warm-up looks like. Then you've got the other people, and I call these like my mobility messes, and I'm also self-proclaimed, but so now you've got your mobility messes that are like, oh God, like that's going to hurt. I can't just get on the rower and do that. Like, I can't just like throw up a wall ball. Like, I got to do some other stuff. This is going to blow my back up. And then they're over in the corner on the lacrosse ball and the foam roll. Mm-hmm. And these are our two people, or they've got now that like everybody's got the vibration guns. Like, they don't even have to like support their joints at all. They just get the gun out and just like, and so these are the two ends of the spectrums that we're looking at. And again, none of those are bad. They're bad in isolation. So really what I would look at would be, okay, we're priming up for a workout. So we want to get our fight or flight system turned on efficiently, because we don't want to hear 3, 2, 1, go. And all of a sudden, this is the first time that our body changes into fight or flight. Like, it's like literally like you step out of your cave and you're attacked by a tiger. Like, you're not going to be as well prepared as you are if you're like, okay, I've been walking through the jungle. I know that a tiger lives in here. I'm being very careful. Then the tiger attacks you and you're a little bit more prepared. So that's like what we want to do. We want to prepare. So what that means is we're going to do, we're going to pair our mobility work with inhale breath work. So let's say we're going to do a 3-second inhale, a 3-second hold, and with a full lung, and then we're going to do a 3-second exhale. And that's what we're going to do.
I love it.
We know that we're going to do pulling motion. So we need our shoulder blades opened up. We also need our mid back opened up. We know that we're going to be throwing overhead, and we're also going to be squatting. So what I would do is I would hit something that would be like a plank with maybe some shoulder blade control. Our hands love to be fixed on the ground. They really like that. Our brain like that. It's good for the system. Lights up the midline. So I would do a plank. I would add a thoracic rotation so that your back, like lower back, doesn't blow up in either of those movements. I would add something overhead. So maybe like doing a banded overhead work, maybe doing like a lat stretch. And then I would maybe do something that would be like a hip stretch or a squat, like down, touch your toes with your legs straight, and then hold onto your toes, squat down, really opening up your hips, elbows stay straight, knees are staying on the outside. So I call that the toe touch squat progression if anybody's ever done those. And the whole time we're going to pair our 3-3-3-0 breathing. So it's going to be like, so let's take the thoracic or let's take the plank, because everybody knows what the plank is. Yeah. So you get down in your plank, you hold that plank for your 3-second inhale. And as you inhale, you're rounding your shoulders. So you're pushing, you're rounding, you're rounding, you're rounding, 3-second inhale. You hold this nice stable position for your 3-second hold with your full lung. And then you relax back down as you exhale for your 3 seconds. Push and round, 3-second inhale, hold for 3 seconds, exhale for 3 seconds and come. You might do a set of 5 of that. Your time under tension has been great. Your brain has been activated. You're turning on your heart rate. And then you just move to the next stretch, keeping that breath work flowing the whole time. And then you're ready to go. So then at the end, hop on your rower, practice that good breathing pattern that you want on the rower. Practice whatever pattern of breath work you want to try to stick with to be efficient on the wall balls. Are you going to breathe out every time you throw the ball in the air and then breathe in right as you're catching and loading so that you're nice and stable? And then run through that. And then if you feel like you need something else, have somebody hit your T-spine or whatever with the Theragun. Like, that's fine. But like, I'd probably save that for the end of the workout. Well, hopefully that gives people just a little bit of context. And remember, we went from the ground and then we did thoracic rotation, which is a hands and knees position. And then we did things either in half kneeling or standing for those squats positions. So we hit that developmental sequence, which is how you go through from birth to like 2 years of age. So you lift your head, you roll over, you sit, all of those pieces. And so that's why I chose those exercises as we were going through.
Yeah, that's so good. It's amazing how many people we like have to revisit the cross crawl pattern. Yeah. Me being one of them, I chose not to crawl. I like apparently scooted around on the back of my head. And then I was like, I flipped over. I crawled for a very, very short period of time and just started walking. I was like, screw this. We're moving on. This is far more efficient. So anyway, it is quite interesting when you start to look at cross crawl patterns and things like that, how they translate to movement patterns later on. So I love that. That's awesome.
Love it.
So, and hopefully that's helpful for people that are doing the open, maybe just taking a different look at the warming up, the way you're warming up, and then also just at the different movements that are in the open. So good luck to everybody on that too.
Yeah. You guys can check us out on Instagram too. Yes. I put up a reel this last week that had exactly like what we gave our pro athletes to warm up with and like our one-on-one athletes. And we'll do that for these next 3 weeks, possibly even just the 5 weeks, because we're already creating it. So it's very easy to go through. So you guys can always like check that out. Like, send us a DM if you have something specific that you have a question on. I'm on there. I answer like all of my DMs and try to like send stuff just custom to our followers too. So at Mobility Athletes, come hang out with us.
Yes. Yes. And you definitely need to do that. I love your social media account. So I highly recommend it.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yes. Okay. So I have one last question that I really wanted to cover, and it comes with, there's a two-part question to this. First off, you already sort of talked about how when the brain, so the brain's connection to your body is not just the muscles and the bones and the joints, it's the whole picture of things. So there are patterns that we get sometimes when we see tightness and pain. And it's very common to hear somebody say something like, oh, I have constantly tight hamstrings, or oh, I have constantly tight quads, but then I also have low back pain, or I have knee pain or hip pain or maybe I have shoulder pain.
Exactly.
Which is the one way up the chain. First part to this question is, how can we look at that a little bit differently versus just thinking we have to constantly foam roll and stretch? Mm-hmm. The second part to that question is, when is it a good time to train through an ache or a pain? And when is it a good time not to? Can you kind of break those down for us? It's a large question, so I'll be quiet.
You don't have to be quiet. I love the input. So first of all, the biggest thing is, if you are feeling something in your body and you are picking a solution to do with it, like, you literally can Google all over the internet. Like, I don't care. So there are some great things out there and there are some not so great things out there. Like, but in general, in our world, nothing is going to like ruin you as long as you don't do it forever. So that's like the thing is, you are feeling something tight, you need to screen it. So if you say that your hamstrings are tight, you need to hop onto Google and say hamstring tightness test. And it's going to tell you to lay down on your back and lift your leg up to 90 degrees. Can you do that? Or it's going to tell you to touch your toes. Can you touch your toes? You're going to look and see, is what my brain is telling me that something is tight? Is that actual pattern, is that actual muscle shortened? Or is there maybe something else going on? So, and that's kind of where I want to leave that part. Now, let's just say that you go and you lift your leg up and you're like, oh, yep, told you, Nicole, they're tight. then now you're going to follow through. So now you're going to go and you're going to try exercises, or you can try foam rolling. You can try the Theragun. You can do any of those things. Mm-hmm. You need to retest it on that day and every like 3 to 7 days, no longer than that. If that is not significantly better in 2 to 3 weeks, it is not the right thing for you. Mm-hmm. So people waste so much time, or they don't even track their time of what they're doing. And then they just give up because they don't actually feel any better. And like, we want you to feel better. That's the biggest thing. And like, this isn't like a toot my own horn type thing, but it kind of is. So whatever, I shouldn't say that because it is, I'm prefacing it. But this is the reason that when we do our squat challenge, 70% of people report feeling better in day one, like, because they are just screening and they're doing very specific exercises based upon that. It's the reason that we have clients, like I have clients that have been with me for 6+ years, not because they're still trying to get better, but because they're staying better. And it's not hands-on stuff. They're just getting the input that they need. They know how to check themselves and they know what to do to stay this good and performing at this high of a level. Right. So I think that that's like the biggest thing is, if you're not getting better in 2 to 3 weeks, it's not the right thing for you. Chuck that baby out the window, go Google something else, or come hang out with Kirsten and I, and we'll get you set up.
That's huge. Yeah.
Anything else, like add in there, whatever you want. I'm going to jump to the second part.
I think the only other thing I would say is that when you see, so you have your posterior chain and your anterior chain, but then you have a lot of other planes that you function in as well, right? So you have, for those of you that want to nerd out, you have your frontal plane, sagittal plane, and plane and transverse plane. And so you move in each of those planes, and in each of those planes, things and the chains, right? Everything, there are movement patterns that can break down. If you have, and if you notice tightness through that posterior chain, through calves, hamstrings, glutes, right? Look to the other side, look to the anterior chain. So quads, there are a few muscles that are right next to your shin bone that can be the anterior side, but also psoas, things like that too. Hip flexors can also sometimes, and TFL. So that's a muscle that attaches to your IT band. All of those muscles, if you look to the other side as well, sometimes you might need to be doing something to help strengthen or activate those anterior chain muscles to help release some of the tension in the posterior chain. So just some different ways to think about it based off of that. Just as you said, Have yes. somebody take a look at it. They'll help you figure
screen,
it out.
Screen. Testing and try to get testing with somebody that's willing to share those results with you and help you understand them. Yeah. Because you can reproduce a lot of that stuff. And you mm-hmm. should be able, at the end of working with a coach, like if you're working with me as a movement coach or you're working with Kirsten, what is happening is that at the end of that, you should be an expert to treat your body because should understand why we're looking at those things. Mm-hmm. So if you're working with someone that's almost like hiding those results from you or not trying to teach you why these steps are happening for you, then what happens is you become dependent on that clinician and you have the power to heal your body and optimize your body. All we have is a whole bunch of tools in our tool belt to try on you to see which ones, which protocols, which things are going to be best for you. That's all our education is just lining up a whole bunch of tools for us to be able to give you an assessment that let us know if those are working or not. You have all that same ability, but all of your progress is 100% you. So don't forget to embody that.
So good. So good. Okay. But then the second part of that question, when should somebody train through a pain and when should they maybe say, you know, I think I need to not do this and go, I need to go see somebody. What do you think?
If there is pain, the science now is saying you shouldn't be going through it. Mm-hmm. So, what we know, the only thing that's consistent in their research is that pain is perceived and causes different, we'll just call them ramifications for every single person. So your pain in the shoulder doing pull-ups will cause your body to lay down scar tissue, to move differently, yes. to change the nerve sensations, to change what happens in your brain different than the exact same pain in the front of my shoulder when I do pull-ups will do to my body. So it's very erratic and we don't know consistently what happens, but what we do know is that consistently when you train with pain, it causes long-lasting effects that we can't control. So it's actually better if you pull back. Now, with that being said, the longest I have ever had anyone off a training plan to a specific goal. So let's say somebody gets a stress fracture and their goal is to run a marathon in 4 months. The longest I've ever had anyone off of a training plan is 10 days. And that was post-surgical for something. So you can achieve your goals and you can modify your training plan and still be performing at a high level and not be in pain. All of that being said, if your training plan is respecting the healing process, meaning that you're getting enough sleep, you're getting enough nutrients, all of that kind of stuff. If you actually just need time to pull back and take more rest days, and that's why something's happening, that's going to be a conversation that we're having. But let's just say that you come up with a tweak or, you know, you have something going on, but your training plan has been developed well, your goal is far enough out that we can still achieve that, then we can put those pieces into place to get you back to training, back connected with your community very quickly.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. It's amazing what research has come out more about how the body responds to pain and how it just reacts to it. It's really cool. I'm excited to see more once they, I mean, every time something new comes out, it's like, oh, that's awesome. In my opinion anyway, right?
It's very interesting. Like the pain science is really cool too for athletes because what it has shown is originally we thought that athletes could tolerate or athletes didn't feel pain the same as what a non-athletic person did. And that's why they could push so hard because they didn't feel pain. What we found from all the studies is that they actually feel pain at the exact same time as what someone who's untrained or not as high level of an athlete, they're just able to withstand it longer. So just remember, especially those high level athletes that are coming here, you have already learned in your system how to withstand pain. So you've already learned how to do that and optimize your performance. So you have to be very careful how often you're running the red light. Yep. Sometimes we run the red light and nothing happens. Like we've all ran a red light and been like, oh crap, but no one T-boned us. Mm-hmm. If you run every single red light that you pass, eventually you're going to get in an accident. And we have no idea whether that accident is going to be something huge. If it's just going to be a fender bender. We have no idea until that happens. So I think that that's just kind of the biggest thing to remember, is that you've trained your body a very specific way for a successful outcome. And now sometimes that's where breath work, that's where mobility comes in. That's where meditation, like Kirsten was saying, comes in, is that you can come back and listen to your body. And that is actually going to make you better. It's not going to take off your edge. It's going to keep your edge for longer in the sport.
Yep. Huge. And there's so much time in those for technique work and all of that, that you can really still keep working towards your end goal, right? And towards your performance goals. But be able to take a step back a little bit, allow your body to rest, allow your body to heal, and still be moving forward. So huge. Oh my gosh. I love this. This has been so great, Nicole. Is there anything else that we, didn't ask about, or we didn't talk about today, that you would like to leave this podcast and our viewers with?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like we hit on so many big things.
We went all over, didn't we?
Oh yeah. But if you guys have any specific questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Like I said, Instagram is the easiest way for me, mobility okay. athletes. And if you guys need any specific ideas for warmups, or you want to dive in and just a little bit deeper on that brain body connection, I'm always more than willing to kind of talk more in depth. I just didn't want anything to go, whew, and people are like, yes. Yeah, I'm just going to keep ignoring it. That seems complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very common when we start talking about both of our expertise areas, for it to sound really complicated. But the point is that we are here to kind of tackle the complicated things and make them more simple for you. Yes. So that's kind of our job. You also have a couple of other programs as well that you have running, like the squat program, right? You have a couple uh-huh. of things. You want to talk about those real quick?
Yeah, I would love to. So anybody is welcome to join us. We will be doing our total body mobility transformation at the end of April again. So, and we will do our squat program leading into that. So there's going to be some great pieces on really why your squat looks the way it does, how to improve that. And then the total body really dives into everything that we just talked about. So understanding how to warm up properly, give you a library of things and choices, like what you have on the internet, information overload, but we're not going to overload you with it. We're going to give it to you in systems, so then you can take action on those and really create programs that work for you to optimize your movement. This program, this launch in April, is going to be specifically for people, so higher level athletes, or anyone coaching other people. So we're really going to move forward to that. So if you are working on inspiring other people, even if that's not necessarily, if that's something that you're doing on Instagram, you're like, I post my workouts, I like to inspire people. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a CrossFit coach. I'm a triathlon coach. Then this is going to be the program subset for you. We only launch 3 times a year. And this one is going to be specifically for coaches, specifically for you, your niche, helping others while you help yourself and become the best mover and performer.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Okay, if they want to check that out, they just go to Instagram at Mobility Athletes, or is there, do you have a website?
Yep, mobilityathletes.com. So you can go either one of those places. And then we do live workouts on Stream Fitness if anybody's interested. So we do those on Mondays at noon, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, and Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern. Those are all breath work paired with mobility. Everything that I've learned from Jesse Coomer paired with the mobility stuff that I know of being a physical therapist. So you guys are always welcome to check us out there. Also, Mobility Athletes on Stream Fitness.
Oh my gosh, I love it. There's so much. So please go check out Nicole and Mobility Athletes. Make sure to follow along. And if you're interested in any of those things, go check them out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Okay. Well, thank you, Nicole. It was great to have you.
Bye, guys.
And that's the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for watching the Dr. K Show. I will see you on the next episode, and take care.